Blog Talk Radio.
Titus 2.
But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. In all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee.
Praise the Lord, it's Deacon Thomas Farr, and this is Issues Christian Men's Talk. I believe we're having some technical difficulties. Hold on 1 minute here. I'm trying to figure out what happened. Amen. Amen, 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 amen. Amen. Well, anyway, I'm hoping that you can hear me. We're going to open with prayer, and then we're going to see if we can get this thing working here. Amen. Father God, we say thank you right now, Lord God. God, no matter what's going on in this world, God, no matter what's going on in the culture, no matter what's going on in our lives, God, we know that you're in control of all things, God. We thank you, God. We thank you for your sovereignty, for your wisdom, God. We thank you for the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, God, for your Son, Jesus Christ, that lives within us, oh God. We ask that you continue to strengthen and guide us, oh God. We ask a blessing over our families and over those, oh God, who are in the ministry, oh God, who labor in ministry, God, the pastors, elders, and deacons, and all those that are part of the body of Christ, God. We say thank you again, Lord God. Father, we know that you are in control. So, Father, we stop and listen to the Spirit speaking to us today, God. We pray for peace. We pray for security. We pray for long-suffering. We pray, God, that you will continue to guide and direct us in evil and lost time, Lord God. And, Father, we say thank you right now. Give you all honor and glory in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Elder Mark, can you hear me, sir? Good evening. Good morning.
Good morning, my brother. Good morning. I can definitely hear you.
Amen. All right. We had some technical difficulties. I pray the brothers hung in there with us as we continue to move forward. But now we are live. This is Saturday morning. This is November the 5th, 2022. We've been off for a couple of weeks. A lot of things have been going on. We are not doing live broadcasts or even having time to record, but we are back on track for the month of November. Amen. So, good God's willing, we're going to continue to press in and be live here every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. You can always call in at 646-668-2636. Join the conversation by pressing 1 on your keypad. Also, you can go to our Facebook page at Issues Christian Men's Talk, and the link will post it there, or go to the website or www.blogtalkradio.com/. You can time as far, and you can listen to the broadcast there. It is saved, and also you can listen to our past broadcasts over the last 6 years. We've been in the mix. Amen. So with God's grace, we're going to keep on pressing in. We're going to keep pressing into these issues and topics that affect us as Christian men, as husbands, fathers, and sons, that we might be strengthened and encouraged by one another. Whew, amen. So I want to touch on a couple things. We've got some announcements coming up because there's a lot of things going on here locally in Baltimore, Washington, D.C. area, Baltimore City, Baltimore County, D.C., Howard County. A lot of men's groups, men's fellowships are starting up again. So, again, if your ministry is having a men's event and you would send it to us, email me, text me. And also for those who have received a link on their phone for this broadcast, you can always text me for your men's events at your ministry. And we encourage also, we ask pastors, elders, or anyone to call in, be a guest, be part of the discussion. As we reason through the word, as we encourage one another, as we touch on those topics and things that go on in our lives that we have to deal with as Christian men and to be able to be salt and light in the culture, in the lives of the people around us. So we encourage you for that. Well, let me start with this. We have an event coming up right around the corner. Matter of fact, it's going to be next Saturday at 10:30 a.m., and we may be broadcasting live from there. We're looking for the, hopefully a technical setup, and it'll work better than it did this morning, but amen. So that's November the 12th at 10 a.m. at Jesus Lives Ministry of Fellowship, 302 Crane Highway in Glen Burnie, Maryland. We have Men's Fellowship and Fish Fry. We are starting at 10:30 a.m. We invite you to come out and join us. Invite a friend, bring a friend, and we pray that you come in and just be in fellowship. We're going to discuss a lot of things. We're going to spend some time in fellowship, and we're going to give a word. There's going to be some teaching, I'm going to say it's not going to be a teaching. It's going to be some engagement and some conversation that's going to help us, that's going to empower us, that's going to encourage us, that's going to hold us accountable to the things of God. Amen? Amen. So that's next Saturday, November the 12th, November the 12th at 10 a.m. Amen. And one more. I got another one here. Pastor sent me. This is Pastor Jesse Young. In Anne Arundel County, for December, for November and December, it's going to be on the third Saturday, a free, Men of Integrity, free men's breakfast from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. at the Golden Corral Buffet at Arundel Mills. That's 7047 Arundel Mills Boulevard, Hanover, Maryland. For those that are familiar, that's by the Arundel Mills Mall in Anne Arundel County, in Hanover, at Arundel Mills Mall. And that's the Men of Integrity, free men's breakfast, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. So that's on November the 19th and December the 17th. November the 19th and December the 17th. Come join us, be part of the fellowship. There's going to be some preaching, teaching, discussion, networking, connecting with one another. And I've been to two of them since Pastor Jesse Young reached out to me, so I enjoyed it. It was a good time of fellowship. I've seen some brothers I haven't seen in a while, and you know, with COVID and all these other things, but there's some brothers who came out. We got to reconnect, and so we had a lot of things going on. To be around men of God who are like-minded, who are striving to live obedient lives to God, who can help and encourage one another, just in our fellowship coming together. So we encourage you to come on out. Again, that's the Men of Integrity free breakfast this November 19th, December 17th. November 19th, December 17th, 7 a.m. Amen? Amen. Let's see, that was that one. That's November 12th. We good. Amen. I got through that. Amen. Again, I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. I'm here with Elder Mark, and this is Christian Men's Talk. We are live every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. And we're back. You might have missed us, but also if you received the link on your phone, we encourage you, if you take the opportunity, to just give us a little feedback. Let's know you got the link, that you listened in, and we continue to send the link out when we do the broadcast, if you can't call in. So, you know, I know some brothers are working Saturday mornings, but all you do is hit the link on your phone, and you can listen in. Hit it on your tablet or your computer. You can listen in to what we're talking about. Amen. So, being that I was off the last couple of weeks. The month of October was domestic violent month. And this is something I've been involved with for a couple of years in a lot of different ministries and a lot of things. But I wanted to share that because when we talk about domestic violence and we're talking about as men of God, as husbands and fathers and sons. So when we talk about domestic violence, I think every brother needs to just take a deep breath, search your memory, search your mind of times that you, the times you may have been involved, you may have witnessed, you knew somebody, you knew family members, you knew neighbors, where domestic violence reigned in some homes. So this is to bring awareness. And even now, you know, as husbands and fathers, as sons, especially as fathers, what kind of relationships are our children in? Do we really know? And this is where it all can start for us as men. I'm going to give you 10 things here. I just want to encourage you to think about and consider, as men of God, the things we can do to prevent, to end it, prevent it, and intercede into it. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, brothers, you know, if it's in your family, the physical response is not really the answer. I know it'll make us all feel good, but that's not really going to be the answer, because what you're going to find out in domestic violence, they get back together. I'm going to say it just like that. I'm not going to call nobody out. But it seems like they always get back together, and it wasn't no big deal as it was when you got the phone call, when you heard about it, or, you know, when the issue came to light. Because it's something I've learned in being around the domestic violence training and also in some of the seminars and teachings. It takes a while for it to stop and for one person to leave. It takes a couple of episodes. It rarely happens that the first time it happens, they break up and never see each other again. So I just tell you, you know, you have to be in a place where you understand what's going on. And then as for pastors, elders, and those in the ministry and leadership, what's your plan? What's the strategy? When someone comes to the ministry or you find out someone in your church is a victim, someone in your church, someone in your leadership staff is an abuser, what's the plan to intercede? Because we have strategies for rehab. We have strategies for homelessness. We have strategy to feed folk. We have food pantries. We have all those things in ministry. But what do we do when domestic violence comes through the threshold of the church and on our leadership team? I just leave that out there. Amen. First of all, I've got 10 things here that I'm going to talk about. Go ahead, brother. You wanted to jump in?
Oh, no. I was just in agreement, brother. Just in agreement to the domestic violence, which you were saying. You know, a lot of times we think that, yeah, of course, that could have only happened once. You know, that why would somebody stay in this situation? But sometimes what we think is love is actually blinding, and we don't see the signs, we don't see the things, we don't see how bad a situation really is while we're in the midst of it. And that's why people don't leave. That's why people continue to push through it. They figure, oh, it only happened, it was a mistake. You know, a trend starts with one time. We have to recognize that a trend starts with one time. But a lot of times those in the midst of it don't see the trend because it is the first time. Or because they feel like, oh, it was just a fluke. It was a one-time event. It was just something that happened that shouldn't have happened. It was someone else's fault. So there's so many things that we don't understand about it. So take the time, brother. As Deacon Frost said, there's so many things. You know, we're past the domestic violence month, but that doesn't mean we're past the domestic violence situations. So just take the time to learn more about it, understand. And even for those in ministry, make sure you have a plan. You don't want to just show up to pick a woman up at a house where a man can follow her to see your home, and the violence can spill over to someone else's house. So have a plan, have some details, have something have something set that you can do to be preventative and reactive and proactive to help a family in that situation, because it will come across your threshold at some point. We are in ministry, we are human, things do happen. So sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, brother, just had to shout that out.
Amen, brother. I appreciate that. And you're right. And there's an 800 number for domestic violence. Unfortunately, I don't have it in front of me, but it will be posted on our Facebook page. And if you need it, call me. You can go on. There's a website also for domestic violence, a 1-800 national number that will connect you with shelters and That's what I'm saying about having a plan. There's shelters here in Maryland. You'd be surprised where the domestic violent women and children shelters are, because where they are not advertised. They're not. When I found out where a couple are because of situations, I was surprised they was even there. Amen? But anyway, I want to give you 10 quick things here to think about, man. First of all, first thing is to break out of the man box. Because sometimes we give off the image of the manhood that we have to keep our secrets, but we have to be men to get men to talk about these issues that they deal with. Because domestic violence is not is the fruit, not the root, of issues going on in relationship and how men think they should be treated or disrespected, whatever. It's a lot of things out there. But this is why it's important to men's ministry, to get men to a place where they know who they are as what God calls them to be and not what the culture calls them to be. Because the culture could tell you a lot of things about how you're supposed to treat your woman that are way off. So that's the thing we can do when we have gathering of men's. Ask a person how can they help. And when that means, what can you do? Because when you engage like anything else in ministry, what's that? Do you have assets and resources that you can really help the situation? Or you're going to put a Band-Aid on a sucking chest wound. Amen? Teach children and young adults. No means no. That's males and females. We do a lot of stuff in youth, young adult, and youth ministry and high school ministry. But we need to prepare them for life. And no means no, and that's for male and females. Don't buy the argument that sex and domestic violence are due to mental illness or they were just mad one time. There's something going on, like my brother said. All habits start with one. The first time can be the beginning of a habit. The red flags in relationships. And I want to make sure I'm clear here, because we have women who beat up guys all the time. And just imagine if you had to tell your brothers that your wife is beating you regularly. How's that going to go? Now think about the teenager in high school, the middle school guy who's getting beat up by a girl all the time. That's domestic violence, and call it herself their girlfriend, boyfriend. But they're getting punched, beat, talked about, treated wrong, because there's a lot of things. There's more to the physical. There's more than physical violence when it comes to domestic violence, but that's another show. Stand up and speak out. Be able to break the silence. This is the things that men don't, as around men in men's groups, that we talk about domestic violence and why not, and we should start to. Number six, look in the mirror. Who are you? What have you been through? What have you done? And what do you think about it? And like I said, look back over your life, your family, your aunties, your cousins, your grandparents, your parents, whatever, and look at where you was exposed to it and what age and what happened and all the things, you know, just think about it. But look in the mirror and let's see where you are with it. Think about the times you argue with your wife and your spouse and your girlfriend where you want to go. You go left, and then you buy her some flowers and some jewelry and make it all good. You could be an abuser. Amen. Number seven, be a model to the youth. I talked about that earlier. We have to teach our youth and young people what it means to be in a relationship and be able to tell young men how they should act and treat women. I know we do that, but I'm talking about how they think about women and how they think about women when they're around their peers, because we know high school or college locker rooms, you know, that's not the same guy who comes to church and comes to youth group. I'm just saying that because y'all like to send your sons out there and be part of football teams and stuff. You'd be surprised what goes on in high school and college locker rooms amongst guys who are all sweaty and dirty and tired. Amen. Number eight, educate yourselves. There's a lot of information out there. Like I said, pastors, elders, deacons, those in leadership. Educate yourself about domestic violence and what it really is. It's not just being smacked, punched in the face. It's more to it than that. It's psychological, financial, emotional abuse that people go through every year. They be in 25, 30 years of marriage, dating for 10 years, and they just emotionally abused. Number nine. Set up a place in your ministry, or around you, a culture shift, that domestic violence is a serious issue. All the other issues we deal with, we preach about the end times, but domestic violence right now is just as important as preaching the gospel, as preaching about the end times and all the things. So we have to have a cultural shift that domestic violence is something that's not acceptable and that the church will engage on, especially in our local ministries. And number 10, we have men's ministries, we have men's fellowships, we have women's fellowships. Again, we have marriage conferences. This should be a segment, a topic where it's discussed, where it's put out there, because you never know. People need to hear it, that they might be able to now reach out. They have to know there's a safe place they can reach out. I know sometimes we say safe place and it's for, you know, but I'll say this. I go back to what I said in the beginning. If someone came to your ministry, a Bible study, a Sunday service, or whatever, and they had an issue, are you ready to have that? Do you have a plan so they don't have to go back home? Simple as that. Amen. Amen. All right, brothers, we move forward now. We're going to talk about some good stuff now. Amen. This is Deacon Thomas Farm here with Elder Mark, and this is Issues Christian Men's Talk. Today, we're going to talk about a couple of things, subjects we're going to talk about, we're going to touch on. We're going to talk a little bit about responsibility and, responsibility versus unreliability and security versus anxiety. Elder Mark, you there with me?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I apologize. I had a little technical difficulty. I lost service on the side. I'm back, though, right with you.
Okay. I got you, brother. No problem. Amen. So let me jump right in, bro. I'm going to – let me see. You want to read the scripture or you want to read the open – you want to read the icebreaker?
I'll read the scripture. So
all right.
The scripture speaking on responsibility versus on responsibility is Romans 14 and 12. And the specific scripture is verse 12, but I'm going to start at verse 11. And it says, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. It says, "For the scripture says, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bend to me, and every tongue will declare allegiance to God. Yes, each of us will give God a personal account, give a personal account to God. Each of us will give a personal account to God."
Amen. Amen.
Responsibility. I mean, wow. Can you imagine? Well, we have to realize it has to be the reality. We have to understand it. That is, we will give a personal account that on our day of judgment, on that day when we are called home, we have to account for everything. We have to account for everything, every decision, everything. God's grace is upon us. God's forgiveness is there for us. All we must do is ask, but we have to account for everything, for the unforgiveness, for the sins against them, the sins against our fellow brothers, the things that we did. We have to account. So we have to be responsible. It's not just about being responsible here on earth and responsible for yourself, but you have a responsibility. Someone else's life is in your hands. We're called to be role models. We're called to be leaders. It says be the head and not the tail. We're called to be the ones that show our sons and our daughters as fathers. We're called to be the ones that show our sons and our daughters who God is and to help them to understand whose they are. We have a responsibility to our wives. We have a responsibility to our family. We have a responsibility to our parents. We have a responsibility to the stranger in the street to share the gospel. Every account, every interaction, you have to take a personal account for. What did you do in that moment? Did you do something to serve God? Did you do what God called you to do? And I'm sorry, bro. I know I went past your introduction, but it just dropped in my thought about the scripture. How serious that truly is. I'll hand it back to you.
Amen, brother. No problem. That's what we're here for. That's what we're here. That's why Issues Christian Men's Talk. Because when we talk about, when we start to breach a subject, it's where God is going to lead and guide us. Because, again, who we are in Christ is what we've been through, what we know about God, what we've experienced as a Christian man. And then when we use and speak about those things is how we encourage one another. Because, again, we are called to be encouraged, to encourage one another, hold each other accountable, to support one another. And this is what we need to do. This is what we need to do in the body of Christ and why we have a passion here. This is Christian Men's Talk for men's ministry. And I think when you say that, we're going to be held accountable. I don't think we get to a place of complacency. That's where we want to battle, complacency, thinking that we, as Christian, once we get saved, We've been saved a while, and we take a lot of things for granted. We want to say, well, that's the world, that's sin, and the world is going to be judged. And but what are we doing? What do we call? What responsibility do we have for God? Or are we unreliable to God? Because that's where it starts. If I'm responsible to the things of God in my life, as what the Word of God teaches, let me just say that, because I understand a lot, that's where that a lot of false teachers come about, give you a whole list of do's and don'ts. I'm talking about what the Word of God holds us responsible to, on who we are and how we should live, and all the things the brother talked about. We are called to abide in Him. We are called to obey Him. And knowing and doing what both God and others are expecting of me. That's what I call the definition of responsibility. Are we responsible of doing what both God and others expect of us, or are we unreliable? Because God has expectations on our lives. Let it not mean, I know salvation is free, and we live under the grace of God, but what does God expect from us? If we are His children, we are called His Son. If we are joint heirs with Christ, if we are what the Bible says about us, what are we responsible to be and do? Because if we look at the Word of God, Paul, Peter, the apostles, Jesus Christ Himself, there was a responsibility, an expectation. Christ was born and knew He was born to die and all that, but He knew His purpose. He knew what God sent Him for. Do we understand what God has called us to be when we read the Word of God? Because that's all that was taught in the Gospels, who Christ was and why He came. Why was He born? Why did He live? Why did He die? And why was He raised from the dead? That's the Gospels. Then we have the book of Acts. What was the church to do? How did the church grow? Do we know? Do we understand that we have that same responsibility when we hear the Gospel, that those 120 in upper room, all the way to the 5,000-6,000 people that Peter preached to as the church grew? Our responsibility is no different than theirs when it comes to the knowledge of God and what God is going to call us to do. Because remember, the church started with those, and look where the church now is. Those who are faithful believers to the Word of God and who Jesus Christ and love Him and obey Him. And I pray, brothers that listen, I pray you're one of those. You're one of those. But we have to understand that we do have a responsibility. And are we held reliable? Now, when it comes back to our relationships, our wives, our children, our church family, our pastors, those who are over us in authority, our pastors and elders, are we responsible or unreliable? The ministry, whatever the ministry does, I've been in the body of Christ for a while, and I've seen good, and I'm going to say this, I'm seeing good and bad. Pastor has a vision for outreach. Pastor has a vision. Are we supportive of the vision of our local congregation? That's what it comes down to. And as men, are we supportive of our pastor? Because I've always told brothers, hey, you don't know what to do in the ministry? Ask your pastor what he needs. And if he's your pastor and he knows you, knows your limitations, your good and your bad, he's going to ask you to do something. Trust me, he needs help. Ministry is not a one-man show. And the church is not a one-man show. But I digress. Are you responsible or unreliable in what God has called you to be in the earth? And it all comes down to, my brother mentioned it too, evangelism. When's the last time you prayed for somebody? When's the last time you have told someone about Christ? It's when you shared the gospel, handed out a tract, gave someone a Bible, prayed with someone. You know, these are the things that we should be doing. You can't be salt and light. And the salt is always in the shaker, and the light is always, what the Bible says, hidden under a bushel, under a table, under the bed with the blankets down. So we walk around and people don't even know you, what you believe, that you're a Christian. They don't even know you go to church. Amen? Because you're never late for kickoff, so they don't even know you go to church. I'm sorry, I did that, didn't I? Amen. So let's go to Word. That way I get some brothers back. I'm going to come back to you, bro, but I want to read this real quick. I'm going to go to 1 Peter real quick. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 5. And it says, I lost my glasses. They will give an account to Him who is ready to judge the quick and the dead. Again, Jesus Christ, we're going to stand before him, every one of us, every one of us who are believers are going to stand before him, and we're going to be judged for the life we live. We're going to be judged for the decisions we made, for the words we spoke, for the words we didn't speak. So can God trust you? Can, again, are you unreliable or are you responsible to the things of God that he calls us all to be as joint heirs in Christ, as sons of God on the earth? What do you say, brother?
Amen. I mean, it just makes me think more and more about, you know, just the fact of not only are we called to do certain things, we're called not to do certain things, or vice versa. We're called not to do certain things. We know our commandment, but do we answer the call? So we know the commandments. We know what the Bible says not to do, but are we doing what the Bible says we should do? Are we spreading the gospel? Are we reaching out? Are we standing to help our fellow brother? Like, it goes beyond just the words you speak. Are you living a life of service to the kingdom? And when I say service to the kingdom, are you willing to sacrifice yourself as far as your fleshly desires to upbuild the kingdom, to save another life? Can you put yourself on the line for somebody else as we're called to do? Show the love that God shows you, that unconditional love. Can you do that for your brother or your sister? Do you do that for your family? Men, there's so many men, and I'm not throwing shots. I'm just saying this is just a subject because this is Issues Christian Men Talk. There's so many of us that right now, for the development of our children, of our sons, there's so many young men out here and young women out here that are lost because a father isn't responsible for them, because a father isn't an example for them. And, yeah, you may not be a murderer. You may not be a killer. You may be living right. You may be walking. You may be in church every Sunday. But if your life isn't an example for that young man, for that young woman, if your life isn't an example for your wife, if your life isn't an example for that person who is still lost in the ways of the world, you're being irresponsible to the call. We have a call upon our lives. There are things that we are instructed to do, things we're instructed not to do. But each and every day we have a choice. God gave us free will. That's our choice to stand up, to be responsible, to walk in the manner that we should, and not only walk in the manner that we should, to act in a manner reflects who God is. We are called to exude the fruit of the Spirit, to live by the fruit of the Spirit, to show joy and long-suffering and peace and gentleness. You may pray, but if every time you come into a conversation with somebody, you just spit the wrath of the enemy at that person because of a disagreement, are you really walking what you're called to do? Are you reflecting the love? Are you exuding that fruit of the Spirit? There's so many things and choices we can make that show us responsible. And as the scripture says, we will have to give a personal account to God. We will have to account for the times that he said, do this, and we didn't. Not only the times that we didn't do what the commandment said not to do. So think about it, my brothers. Just think about it, and think about it. When you are called to love your wife, even when you're mad, when you're called to stand beside her and help her and console her through an issue, as a man is called to do, can you do it because you're disappointed about dinner? Can you do it because you're disappointed about the money in the household? Can you do it when you're disappointed because you've had a bad day at work? Can you still be reflective of who God has called you to be, even in the midst of your everyday situation? That's part of our responsibility. That's the thing that you have to account for. Did you do what I said to do, even though the test was going on? Back to you, sir.
Amen, brother. Amen. Gentlemen, you listen to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Fogg, and we're here every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. live. And also, we encourage you to visit our Facebook page at Issues Christian Men's Talk on Facebook, and also on Twitter at Issues Men's Talk on Twitter. And then, brothers, I mean, it's just, again, these are all things that we talk about. Again, I always give a disclaimer on every program and every conversation we have. me and myself and my, and Elder, we don't stand on pedestals looking down, because these are the things we deal with every day. We have to all check ourselves. We have to be able to look in the mirror at who we are, who we were, and who we're going to be through God and through the leading of His Word and His Holy Spirit. And these are the things that, you know, you may not hear a sermon about this, but this is what the Word of God teaches. And we have to meditate on it. And then the biggest thing we have to be is application of it in our lives. And again, we want to encourage you. We encourage you into the study of the Word. We encourage you in prayer to be able to be in that place where God can use you, wants to use you, and wants to mature you. That's the other thing. It's a process. I don't care if you've been saved 6 months, 6 days, 6 hours, 6 years, 36 years, or for some of you folk out there have been saved your whole life. Every day is a process. Every day is a new opportunity. Because our lives, that we are called as men of God to live to the glory of God, and that means every day. Even through our challenges, even through our disappointments and our failures, and even when we mess up and we have to ask forgiveness. Amen? We are still called to glorify Him. Amen. Again, well, we're going to move to the next topic we're going to talk about here, because I'm going to shift gears here. We're going to keep it moving. We're going to talk about security versus anxiety. Security versus anxiety. Structuring my life around that which is eternal and cannot be destroyed or taken away. Are we secure in who we are? Are we living a life, are we living in security or anxiety? Are we worried about everything, every little thing? Are we unsure about our salvation? Or are we secure in our salvation? Are we secure we're saved even though the things we do? I think that's what every man struggles with, especially when challenged, when tempted, and when we fail. So now we worry about, are we saved? Are we worried about, is somebody going to know? Are we worried about why we don't share our shortcomings and our failures with our brothers? Because we don't want nobody to think about we may not be saved, but we ain't who we're supposed to be, or we ain't who we want to be portrayed to the public to be. But we understand this. God knows. And with security means, if I'm secure in my faith walk and I'm secure in my relationship with Christ, I'm going to say this. If I'm secure in who I am in God and who God is, and I'm secure that I believe God, I believe Jesus Christ, and I'm secure I'm living obedient to the Word of God and being led by the Spirit, I can live a life of transparency. So when I do fall, I do make a mistake, or I do struggle, I can be transparent with my brothers. I have men in my life that I can share this with who will encourage me. And sometimes sometimes we need to be rebuked. But do we have people in our life who have that access and have that relationship with? I'm going to give it to you, Elder. I'm going to stop right there. I'm going to give it to you and let your brothers meditate. What do you think, sir?
Amen, amen. Well, you know, when you just talked about do we have people in our lives, it made me really think about the fivefold and what Ephesians tells us about the ascension gifts. You know, we're given the apostles, the pastors, the elders, the teachers, the evangelists. We're given all of those so that we can be grown up, so that we can be pushed forward to a better understanding, so that we're not taught, the word says, so we're not, and forgive me, I'm paraphrasing, that we're basically not tossed to and fro by the ways of the world. We're not tossed unsound doctrine or by false teachings. We have, we're stable. We're able to stand strong in who we believe in and what we believe. We believe that Jesus Christ is our Savior, that He was born of the Virgin Mary, that He came to, that He came for our sins, that He died on the cross and rose 3 days later for our deliverance, for our sins, that we wouldn't have to pay the cost of sin. That's part of our belief. That is a foundation of our belief, that we are saved from sin because of the glory, because of the grace of God. You know, when we believe something, when we hold strong to something, when we have found doctrine around us and we're being taught, when we have ones that can be examples for us, that can show us, that's when we grow and we can stand secure in our belief. We may not understand everything, you will never understand everything. The word is too vast to understand everything. But you're not called to understand and know everything. You're called to trust God and believe that he knows and understands everything. And because of his omnipotence, he's going to hold you strong in the midst of the storm. That's where we talk about God being an anchor and holding us strong. That's the security. That's the place where no matter what's going on, you can still say, but God. That's the place where when things are going on, you can still pray. You can still give a hallelujah praise because you know, as Romans 8 says, all things are working for the good of those that love God. That means all things. And I say it all the time. It says all things are working for our good, but it doesn't say all things will feel good. We have to understand that when we are in that place of security, we're not concerned about everything because we know God has everything in his control. Another scripture says that we are inscribed in the palm of his hand. That means he has us in his grip. That's part of the security. When we hold strong to that, there's no situation that will come about that you won't be able to make it through. You will be able to make it through by the grace of God in God's strength. You can't do it alone. Flesh won't get you through, but the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit within you, blasting through you, showing you, guiding you, empowering you, giving you revelation so that decisions are made with discernment, that's what shows up. That's the security that we have, and that's what we're supposed to lean upon. And brother, I'm going to just go ahead and give the scripture because of what I referenced. But the scripture is John 6:27. But don't be concerned about the perishable things like food. Spend your energy seeking the eternal life that the Son of Man can give you. For God the Father has given me the seal of his approval. Don't be concerned about the stuff that's just going to fall away. Don't be concerned with all of those things. Be concerned with the eternal life that's coming, and spend your time seeking that out. Spend your time working to gain, to receive, to just be in that place of knowing who God is and trusting God in everything. It's a hard thing to swallow. I know it, brothers. It's hard to swallow. And like Deacon said, we're not speaking from a place of a pedestal that we've got it all in line, that we've got an understanding of everything, because every day I have to pray because another test comes that I thought that I wasn't prepared for. Something else comes that me, Mark, isn't prepared for. Elder Mark wasn't prepared for. But thank God for the Holy Spirit in me that helps me to guide me through. He is the comforter that God gave me, that as God has given us all, the comforter to help us through the very situation that we don't understand. So we don't have to be concerned about the issues, but we can be concerned. You don't have to be concerned about the issue, but we can rest assured that the issue will be solved as we lean upon God. Back to you, sir.
Amen, sir. Amen. And you're right, brothers. The whole thing we got to work is focus on what do we live in this life for? What are we sowing into? You know, are we sowing into the things that are eternal? And then when we talk about that, it's more than our salvation. Are we sowing into those around us? Are we sowing into our families? Remember, our children, our children's children's children. Will the gospel be transmitted down the generations? For some of you, you're the Abraham of your family. For some of you, you have a legacy of faith-walking, Christian-believing folk. And some of you don't. You know, some of you have a praying grandmother. Some of you had a grandmother who was a bootlegger and some other things. So where are you? And these are the things that's eternal. Because if Christ hasn't come back, and if he doesn't come back for three more generations, well, will your bloodline be able to look back to you as he was a man of God and he believed? Will you be remembered by your children's children's children that you were a believer in Jesus Christ? And will they know the truth of the Word of God? Will it be passed down to know that the Word of God is true? Insufficient in all they need for the salvation of their souls? Will they know the gospel? Not will they be able to, you know, become bishops, elders, and preachers and great worldwide preaching evangelists, but will they know the God that their souls might be saved? That's some of the eternity we have to think about too. Because we all talk about, what we talk about, it inheritances and life insurance and leaving something and leaving our kids' property and all these things, that's what the Bible's talking about. All that stuff will perish. Even if you leave the house of your children and their children, and, you know, if we look around right now, if we're truly honest, we look around that a lot of property and things that people left behind thinking they were leaving something for their generations after, it didn't work out that way. Because life is different for every generation. People make choices through their life. Because, you know, your parents and grandparents who might have had a house, didn't have property, didn't have land, ended up selling it. You know, let me say, I'll say it like this. If we look around, especially here in Maryland and the Baltimore, D.C. area, all this new construction of homes and what's the other thing I hate to see? Storage unit properties. All that land was owned by a family at some point, and it was sold. And you thought the grandparents or great grandparents thought that land would be sold to put up $300,000 townhouses, or they left it to their children that they might have to own something. What was their vision for it? So again, these things will pass away. You know, people. I know brothers right now who got cars. Got 1962 muscle cars and old 1950s and even 1970s cars they want to hand down to their children, their grandchildren. Their grandchildren don't care because they can get the 2022, what is it, the Dodge Demon or the Charger or whatever other car out there that's doing a whole, that they impress more by that than they are by your 1969 and, what's the one, let me pick one, Camaro. There you go, Camaro. Everybody wanted a Camaro. Or an old Cutlass, some of you other brothers, you know what I'm talking about. But, amen, what is eternal and what is going to go with rust? Again, you know, I remember Pastor preached one time, we talked about it at one of our men's groups. Every car in the junkyard was some brand new favorite car that they were so happy and they would die for, and they washed it every week. But yet, the junkyard is full of them. That's what I tell brothers. I can touch a brother's heart right there, because that car he out there detailing right now. What's today? Saturday, and the sun's up. It's a nice sunny 60 degree wheel. That brother out there doing his car. That car will end up in the junkyard. I'm just saying. I know you don't tell a brother right now because he might get emotional and he might, you know, cuss you or something. But anyway, these are things we have to get back. I mean, think about as men of God. Are we structuring our life around that which is eternal and cannot be destroyed or taken away? And that's to God. That's the word of God. That's our salvation. That's who we are in Christ. What we've done for God is going to be our legacy, our spiritual legacy, and our natural legacy. If we were known as a servant, if we were known to be a man of God who was willing to serve, would show compassion, was willing to help, to do things, to forward the gospel, to forward the mission and the vision of the ministry, you know, or what would we be known as, you know? And again, I say, you know, we have, you know, celebrations of lives and all that. You only hear the good stuff. But God knows the other stuff, where you didn't fall short, where you wasn't responsible, where you wasn't reliable. So that's what he's also going to judge, because we can have a beautiful going home service. Because nobody talks, I never heard nobody talk bad about some people. I did hear them say some other things about them, but not at the actual funeral, okay? But what's going to be eternal? What can be not destroyed and taken away in the life that we're living right now with the time that God has given us? And that's what we have to look at, brothers. Again, as men of God, as who we are, as husbands, fathers, and sons, legacy. That's the word I want to leave with the conversation, is what's going to be your legacy spiritually, intellectually, and emotionally. Will people think back on you? People remember you? Because, you know, I know some brothers that, you know, recently I'm at an age now people are starting to transition. And I think about, you know, kids, man, I grew up with young people, even, you know, girls, people we went to public school with. I recently had, in the last, 6-7 months, I had like 3 people I went to public school and high school with who passed away. And that means they're my age, and now they're not here. So now I'm starting to get, going to the doctor every week now. But anyway, amen. But again, brothers, consider where you are. What you say? I hear you, brother. What are you saying back there? What you thinking?
Like you said, but before you said the word legacy, that was just what was on my mind. Legacy is, you know, what mark do you leave? And, you know, we're talking about as Christians, as men, but also I want to speak that to the ministries out here. What legacy do you leave? Like, if right now your church door is closed, does the neighborhood around you know that you were there? Did you leave a mark? Did you leave a positive influence? Did you leave something that changed somebody's heart or did something for somebody outside the four walls? That's the same thing we talk about legacy as an individual. Did you do something in your life that helped somebody else get through a situation in theirs? That's what I think of when I think of legacy. Did you do something in your life that someone will remember you because you did something that affected theirs in a positive way? You don't want to have a legacy of a negative influence, but a legacy that says you did something that helped somebody else change in a situation that they thought they couldn't make it through. That's the gifting of God, the opportunity to do something beyond the perishable events, beyond, like you said, the car is rusting. We all talk about it, like you said, you know, I want to leave my car to my grandkids. Or I laugh deep when you said it because my granddaughter, he says, Pop, can I have your truck? Baby, I hope you want more than my truck. I hope you want more of a life than just that. I mean, and, you know, kids, you know, when they're kids, they're not thinking about the bigger issues like that. But it's just a thought.
Amen.
You know, you want your grandchildren to want more out of life. You want your children to want more out of life than the material things that you have. But if all they see is you concentrating on the material, that's all they know. So spend time leaning upon God, showing them who you trust, who you believe in, what you believe in, so that they will have a legacy of belief, a legacy of understanding, a legacy of dependency upon God. Back to you, sir.
Amen, brother. Amen. Amen. That's very good, brother. So, gentlemen, again, I'm Deacon Thomas Farr, Elder Martins and Issues Christian Men's Talk. And, again, we just wanted to, hopefully something was said, that will encourage you, strengthen you, to press you and push you on and in this Christian walk. And just consider responsibility versus unreliability, security versus anxiety. Are we shaping our life? Are we living a life as we believe God, as we believe every word of God, as we know who we are in Christ? And that's where it all still begins there. Gentlemen, again, I want to encourage you to continue. We'll hear it live at Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. Moving forward from here, also Fish Fry on November the 12th in Glen Burnie. Hopefully you can join us. Have any questions, you can text me. If you receive this link in your text, you can text me back. Again, on Facebook, you can leave us a message, inbox us. Again, if your ministry is having an event, men's event, please let us know so we can share it with the network of brothers. Because you never know when a brother needs to be in a place of men, of like-minded, godly men, just to be encouraged and maybe build new friendships that will help him in this Christian walk. Because we are not called to be long rangers. We're called to walk along side by side, one in another. Amen. Brother, if you would, I appreciate you again, as always. And if you would, close us out, and you get the final comment, sir.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, my brother. It's always a pleasure to be on with you, to converse and just spend some time just helping to build someone else up, to build another brother. So thank you for the opportunity, men. Thank you for taking the time to listen in, those that are live with us right now, those that will go back and listen to this in the archive, recorded messages. Thank you for taking the time, because it's allowing us all the time to just build on one another. So when you have more comments or questions, please reach out via the Facebook page, as Deacon Farr said, so that we can bring up issues or talk about things that you want to hear about, because this truly is where Issues Christian Men Talk. It's always a blessing to just be with you. I thank God for something that was said. I hope that if something was said that changes your heart, changes your mind, allows you to understand more about responsibility and irresponsibility and security and anxiety, that you will lean upon those scriptures. Once again, the scriptures we referenced were Romans 14:12 and John 6:27. Father God, we honor you and bless you, Lord God. We just thank you for another opportunity to join together as men before you, Lord God, to just learn more of you and thus of ourselves, to discuss the issues that are on our hearts, our minds, and our souls, that we can lean upon you and not that of our own understanding, that we'll walk a life reflective of you, Lord God, exuding the very fruit of the Spirit as we continue to grow in you each and every day. We thank you that you are our anchor, Lord God, in the midst of the storm. You are the security, Lord God, and you have given us a call that we'll walk in upholding responsibility, that we won't be irresponsible, Lord God, with the very things that you've asked us to do, that we'll be the role models, we'll be the fathers, we'll be the husbands, we'll be the sons, we'll be the ones, Lord God, that you can lean upon, that you can trust to do your work. We are your willing and able servants. We thank you, we honor you, and we bless you, and pray to the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.